All right, everybody, welcome back to the Weekend Interview Show on Radio Chaos 95.9 FM and also Chaos, KAOS959.com, worldwide on the internet. And I also want to remind everybody right now, beginning 5 minutes ago, there's a benefit for Radio Chaos down at Beerland, so head on down there. There's a bunch of great bands playing. Let's see. Show Me on the Dolls playing, Hit by a Car, and I don't know who else. But anyway, show up at Beerland, there's a Chaos benefit. And this is the Weekend Interview Show. I'm Philip Drew, Administrator, and our next guest is Bernard von Knothaus. He's the founder of the Liberty Dollar, editor of the new book, The Liberty Dollar Solution to the Federal Reserve. Welcome to the show, sir.
Well, great to be here, but should I say... call you Philip?
Yeah.
Okay, well, please, Philip, sir. My question is, what are we doing on the radio if we should be down there at Beerland?
Well, it's the
what's wrong with
thing.
This picture?
Yeah, I know. But, you know, the show's from 3 to 5 on Saturdays every week. What can I do?
Stuff. Well, we'll make the most of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
So
yes,
anyway.
Sir. Well, listen, it's a pleasure to be here with you, Philip, and... talk to you about the Liberty Dollar. You're in Austin, right?
Yes, sir, Austin, Texas. And it's I got to say, it's a real honor to have you on the show. I've been spending Liberty Dollars here and there for a couple of years now.
Oh, yeah, Austin is hot.
And, of course, I got turned on to Liberty Dollar from G. Edward Griffin. Every time I get a copy of The Creature from Jekyll Island, I always end up loaning it out, and I never see it again. So I bought a new copy of Jekyll Island, and it came with some Liberty Dollar certificates. And I thought, huh, well, this is interesting. What the hell are these?
and
turns out they're real money.
That's right. That's just exactly like what Ed Griffin said in his own book, in Creature, on page 547, that before we can repeal the Federal Reserve, we've got to institute a parallel value-backed currency to replace it with.
Right.
Pretty cool.
And so that's what the Liberty Dollar does, is it makes the Federal Reserve notes obsolete, correct?
Well, no, I don't think we make them obsolete. They're still functioning out there. Matter of fact, there's 18 trillion of them out there.
Well,
that are
you're
still
trying
functioning.
To make them obsolete, right?
No, we're certainly not trying to do anything. So we have been doing it. What we've been doing it for 6 years now, so there's no trying involved. But, you know, the thing is the focus that you're... what we're fishing for here is not clearly defined yet, and that is simply that we have brought out a parallel currency that functions on a one-to-one basis with the Federal Reserve notes. We haven't driven them out of the marketplace, but we have privatized over $5 million into a value-backed currency that competes with the depreciating Federal Reserve notes on a one-to-one basis in the marketplace. That's what we've done. That's exciting.
Well, why is that exciting?
Well, because 5 years ago, or 5.5 years ago, Phil, you had no choice. You had no choice whatsoever at all. There was no competing currencies to the Federal Reserve notes. You had to use Federal Reserve notes because that was the only one out there. Now you have a choice. If you can choose, you are free. If you can't choose, there is no freedom. So what we've done is we've introduced freedom into the marketplace, but more powerfully than that, even, is we've introduced competition in the marketplace to provide for that freedom. Now, you know, you can actually see, over a period of time, Philip, you will actually see the difference between a fiat currency that inflates itself and drives its value down to a value-backed currency which will actually appreciate in value. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but the Liberty Dollar, do you still have some of those, Philip?
Yes, sir. I got a couple of coins and a couple of certificates.
Okay, well, now they're not coins because it isn't something issued by the government. You would be having silver liberties, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you aware that those are about ready to double in value?
No, I wasn't aware of that. And actually... you know, I'm sorry, I'm really not an economist type. I try, but...
Don't be an economist. Economists are dry, boring, shriveled up old men. Don't be an economist. You don't sound like you're that old, Philip.
Well, thanks.
Yeah. Now, nobody
wants
to. I have
trouble understanding, though. I mean, you say they're on a one-to-one basis.
Well, they function in the marketplace on a one-to-one. In other words, if you went in and paid for something for $5, you don't have to convert those Liberty dollars to some sort of thing or anything. You just use it for $5, right?
Sure, but what about, I mean, I guess
that makes it one-to-one.
Says the inflation rate is low right now, but the dollar is dropping in value, or the Federal Reserve note is dropping in value compared to all the foreign currencies. If there's big inflation, like, say, for example, like it was in the 70s, with all this new money that they've created, how does that affect the Liberty dollar if Federal Reserve note becomes worth,
hold on a second.
Cents?
You ask a really good question there. Don't muddy the question with a bunch of explanation here. What happens when the Federal Reserve notes lose their value and inflation is injected into the economy, right?
Right.
Okay, that was, as I recall, that was the question.
Yeah.
And that's a very good question, because what's going to happen to the Federal Reserve notes, they're going to go down in value because they have diluted the stock of Federal Reserve notes in the economy. So that means that each one has actually got less purchasing power. That means that the price goes up, and they call that inflation. That's what happens with that currency.
Right.
But exactly the opposite happens with a value-backed currency, because that's a debt-based currency. Well, value-backed currency that's backed up by gold and silver. I don't know. Have you noticed that the price of gold and silver has gone up?
Yeah.
Do you know the price of gold is up 40%? The price of silver is up 62% in the last 3 years.
Yeah, silver's trading at, what, about $6.75 per ounce?
Yeah, about $6.75. It's a pretty good accurate figure. It was up on Friday. It was up to $6.67, but it's been up higher than that. But, you know, it's in that area. Right, so what's going to happen is that you have a choice right now, and so does everybody there in Austin, and a good number of people in Austin already know about the Liberty Dollar. You have a choice right there to choose this currency here that's going to depreciate in value and steal the value from you. They're going to steal from you. The government money's going to steal from you, as it has been since 1913. You know, $1913 dollar doesn't buy today what it bought in 1913, right?
Of course not.
Do you know what it buys?
10 cents worth of stuff.
How much?
I don't know, a dime worth?
No, it's 2.5 times less than that. It's 4 cents. The $1913 dollar is worth 4 cents today. Someone stole 96% of your money. 96%. Okay? So, and that's continuing. Matter of fact, it's going to accelerate here because of all the phony baloney money that the government's been cranking out here the last couple years since 9/11.
Well, but if the face value of a silver Liberty is $10,
right.
Then it seems like that it would depreciate too, as long as you're staying one to one.
How can it? No. You're missing something. We haven't gotten there yet. Hold on a minute. Here, we haven't answered the whole question. So we know what's going to happen to the Federal Reserve notes. They're going to go down in value, right, Philip?
Yes.
Okay. Now, can we possibly buy an ounce of silver for $12 and issue it for $10?
Of course not.
Of course not. Okay. Do you think the price of silver is going to go up?
Yeah, I think it will. Usually the price of precious metals goes up as the value of paper money goes down, right?
That's right. Okay, so since the price of silver is going to go up, and since we can't buy an ounce of silver for $12 and issue a $10 certificate, we'll bring out a $20-based currency. Do you know anything about that, Philip?
No, I don't know about that.
Okay, see, what we have right now is what's called $10-based currency. Every $10 is backed up by 1 ounce of silver. And
right.
You can get specie, which is the round silver Liberty, which says $10 on it, and it is 1 ounce. But you can also get the silver certificates, which every $10, like if you got a $10 certificate, in the lower left-hand corner it says $10 silver base. And that means that $10 is backed up by a $10 silver Liberty. But since we can't buy an ounce of silver for $12 and issue a $10 certificate, or a $10 silver Liberty for that matter, what are we going to do? We're going to go to the $20 base. That means that an ounce of silver is going to have a face value of $20 on it, Philip. So for every $10 silver Liberty that you happen to have, or for every $10 in paper currency that you happen to have, you can turn that in and get double your money. Double.
And you've already started that?
Your notes are going to be going down the tubes, and you're going to be setting sail with doubling your money. It's an inflation-proof currency, Philip.
So when does that start, where I can start trading my $10 ounce coins for, or not coins, but...
Silver Liberties.
Silver Liberties.
Okay. Well,
when can I start trading those for $20 pieces?
You obviously haven't been reading the newsletter, have you, Philip?
Newsletter, I haven't. I'm sorry.
Okay, well, don't worry about it. Just for your listeners out there, there is a newsletter that we put out every month that explains all these things. And the last month's newsletter, the January newsletter, was just absolute mass because we covered all of this, a whole bunch of other stuff, too. But in any case, in reality, we don't wait till the price of silver gets to $10 because there is, you know, the currency is issued at a discount to Liberty Associates. Liberty Associates can get the currency at a discount and use it at a profit, thereby making more money, getting more silver liberty, more silver currency, thereby protecting themselves more from the government's money. So it doesn't happen at $10. Because of the discounts, because of cost of manufacturing, it actually happens at $7.50. So we're getting close, right, Phil?
Yeah, we're getting there.
Yeah. Now, it isn't going to happen the first time we hit $7.50. Probably won't even happen the second or third time, but it will happen given a 30-day moving average of it, of the silver staying over $7.50. We'll bring in the $20 base currency. And since silver is fungible, which is a legal term that means an ounce of silver is equal to an ounce of silver, so every ounce of silver that you happen to have is equal to any other ounce of silver, except the ounce of silver that you have right now says $10 on it. You can trade that in, and you can get a $20 one, just like that, because silver's over that magic mark. That's the answer to your question. The Federal Reserve currency goes down, the Liberty dollar goes up and stays track with the price of goods, the average price of goods in the economy, which is reflected in precious metals. As you probably heard, the price of precious metals doesn't really go down. It doesn't really go up. It maintains itself. Just like 2,000 years ago, you could buy a robe and sandals and a belt for about $400. You can go out and buy a nice suit, nice belt, and a shirt, and maybe throw in a tie if you get the combo for $400. So precious metals don't lose value, although it's perceived that they change in value only because of the phony baloney government paper money.
If I have a $20 silver Liberty, and
yep,
I go and try to buy $20 worth of stuff at the store, and
I
they
go
say,
and buy, hey, try to buy something? Now, wait a minute.
I mean, aren't they going to say, hey, I read the Wall Street Journal this morning, and an ounce of silver is going for $8, and you're trying to buy $20 worth
Phillip,
of stuff with it?
Phillip, have you been using the silver Liberties?
Not that much.
Uh-huh. Have you ever used the silver Liberty?
Yeah, I've used them before. I haven't.
Okay,
I haven't
on,
ever
hold,
had
hold,
enough
hold,
money to really have enough
hold,
of them.
Hold, it's okay. Just answer the question. You have used silver liberties. In other words, you've actually used silver liberties to pay for something, right?
Sure. Yeah, the 24-hour
store. Did that person say that he saw in the Wall Street Journal that that the price of silver was only $4.10?
No, not that time.
No, he didn't. He didn't. Did he say anything? Did he say, wow, this is beautiful, or wow, this is neat, or yeah, I'll take this, or did he say anything at all?
Well, actually, where I spent it was the 24-hour store down on 6th Street where they've been accepting them for a while, so he wasn't
yeah,
really surprised.
And have they ever said to you, gee, the price of silver is only such and such, I'm not going to take this? No,
well,
they haven't.
Why not, though? I mean, if they were, I mean, if that's just because they're lazy and they didn't read the journal that morning, then that's one
Phillip,
thing. But
Phillip.
I'm sorry, I'm just trying to understand how I'm going to get someone to accept
you don't
a
have
piece
to
of silver
get
as $20 worth.
Phillip,
when
you're
going to
have me cuffing live on air here. What do you mean get somebody to accept it? They take Federal Reserve notes, right?
Yeah, they do.
How much silver backs up the Federal Reserve notes, Phillip?
How much what?
How much silver backs up the Federal Reserve notes?
Absolutely nothing.
Okay, then. And do you have to talk people into taking Federal Reserve notes?
No, but they already believe in Federal Reserve notes.
Yeah, right, but guess what? What you're looking for, the people that believe in silver, okay? And if they don't take silver, then what do you do? What do you do when you go out there and you offer someone your American Express credit card and they don't take an American Express? What do?
Well, you try your Visa.
You like this word try, don't you?
Well, I'm sorry.
You just give me your visa and get on with your life, right?
The money thing just confuses the hell out of me. I'm thinking, okay, I own a store, and some guy comes in and says, hey, man, I got $20 worth of goods here, and here's a $20 silver coin. 1 ounce of silver says $20, face value on it. And if I know that silver's trading for, you know, less than $10 an ounce, why would I accept a $20 value 1 ounce piece of silver?
Philip, you were using silver when it was under $10 an ounce for $10. So why do you have a problem using silver when it's under $20 when it's at $20? The reality is what you're doing is you're confusing bulk material cost with manufactured good price. Now, for the advantage of your listening audience, I'm going to say that again. You're confusing bulk material goods cost with manufactured goods price. Can you go out and buy a loaf of bread for the 8 cents worth of wheat that's in that bread, Philip?
No.
Can you go out and buy anything for the bulk material cost of the item that's in there?
No.
Of course not. Did you know that the price that you see in the newspaper for silver is for 5,000 ounces in an unmanufactured bar that takes a forklift to move it? And you're talking about a 1 ounce manufactured piece. Do you know that you get more value for your money in precious metals than you do for anything else? Do you know how much a dinner that maybe you might spend $20 on has less than $2 worth of actual cost in that food?
Yeah, I mean, I understand your point. It's all about the middleman and the manufacturer and the...
Yeah, right, exactly. Okay, so how do you think that you could possibly have a currency that's going to have $10 worth of value in it when it has to be manufactured? You're confusing bulk material cost with manufactured good price, Philip. You can't buy anything for the value that it costs in volume. Are you buying 5,000 ounces? No. Are you in New York City? No. Okay? You're buying 1 ounce silver Liberty. You have to pay more than manufacturer cost because somebody is going to have to melt it, roll it, transport it, insure it, pay for the dyes, pay the overhead, you know, all that sorts of stuff. Even at that, you get more money, you get more goods for your dollar in precious metal form than you do any other way. That's one of the reasons why it's used as a standard of value. Because if it wasn't used as standard value, it would be displaced by something else that has a smaller manufactured good price. In other words, the item that gives you the most automatically gravitates to be the standard of value in an economic system.
So if we had a silver standard and $1 was defined in law as a tenth of an ounce of silver, then, I mean, that's really what you're shooting for, right?
No, absolutely not. That model would fail even before it got out of the starting gate.
Why is that?
Because we live in a free market. That price of silver varies, as we already talked before. Philip, it varies throughout the whole day. It varies. It varies around the clock. It changes price every day. As soon as you enshrine that in there, that's exactly what the problem was that the government didn't head off in 1964. Now, I don't know where you were in 1964. Hopefully you were here on the planet, Philip.
I was not so much as a gleam in my father's eye in 1964.
Your father was practicing, in other words. Okay? Well, the reality is, Philip, is that the price of silver went over $1.29. And the government found that they could not buy silver on the open market and keep on making silver coins. I didn't say coins because we're talking about government coins here now. Okay? So they went to clad coins. In other words, they took the silver out of our money. 1964, at the end of 1964, starting January 1st, 1965, we had all debased coins. Okay? So there you go. Can't do it. You cannot enshrine that the dollar is going to be such and such, okay, because the price changes. Now you can take it back to the Mint Act of 1792, if you want to, where a dollar was specifically defined as 371.25 grains of fine silver. We could go back to that point, but a dollar could never be that because a dollar can't have that much silver in it because the price of silver is already above that. Now, you could say $10 might have that. You might do that, but you wouldn't be able to do that for long because we already have a free market in silver. In other words, a lot of things have changed since 1792, fellow. What we need is a brand new standard, and I address that in my book, The Liberty Dollar Solution to the Federal Reserve. There's a chapter in there called The Organic Gold Standard. And in that particular case, we won't get into that today, but in that particular case, though, I go into some detail. It's only 3 or 4 pages long, but it's pretty detailed in terms of how to design and develop and implement a brand new standard which embodies the free market principles yet still gives us a stable currency.
Well, why don't you go ahead and get into that a little bit?
Well, because there's other things that we need to talk about here. And that's really rather esoteric. It's not going to be, it's a little kind of dry economic. I don't think it's going to be a great thing for your listening audience, quite frankly.
Well, but the bottom line, though, I guess what you're getting at then is that commodity money ought to just be defined by the market. There shouldn't be any government standard of what a dollar is, that the free market should just decide.
The government should never... Yeah, that's absolutely right. The government should never be involved in defining our values, be them social, political, religious, moral, or financial. They should not be involved in that business. They should reflect the values that the people have espoused, not passing bull feather laws trying to find what those values are. Whenever a politician brings up value, you know that SOB is lying. It's like Lion Linden. Remember Lion Linden?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You read that book, Blood, Money, and Power?
Oh, no, I haven't read that. Is that a good
one? Oh, you ought to read it. It's all about Austin. Man, I mean, everybody down there in Austin ought to be reading that book. You know, Bar McClellan bears it all here in his book about Lion Linden killing LBJ. I mean, killing JFK. You ever read that book?
No, I haven't. Although I saw the guys on the History Channel came to the same conclusion.
Yeah, that's right. That was that was quite an expose on the Learning Channel, didn't you think?
Oh yeah, the men who killed Kennedy.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Yeah, it was excellent. I gotta say, in OBJ's defense, though, he did steal everybody's tax money and spend it making Lake Travis, which I love. I'm sorry. I have to admit it was the feds that came and built that dam and created Lake Travis.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, well, but other than that, I hate that bastard though.
Yeah, there you go. Well, listen, you brought up the Learning Channel, so I would like to mention for your audience that the Learning Channel did a fantastic expose on the Liberty Dollar and featured us along with the U.S. Treasury and the Federal Reserve. Did you happen to see that one?
Well, I saw the special about you and the Liberty Dollar, but I didn't see the rest of it that compared it to the Fed and all that kind of thing.
Well, it's all on the same show. It's a one-hour special, and they featured the U.S. Treasury and the U.S. Mint, the Federal Reserve, and the Liberty Dollar.
Well, this is the one where they're following you around, you're wearing a white suit, and you're going around spending liberties, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
That'd be me.
Yeah, I saw it. It was great.
Oh, it was fantastic.
I was actually very surprised at what fair treatment they gave you. I would have expected them to conclude in the end somehow as best they could that you're a kook and that the Fed isn't to be messed with.
Well, why would you even think that, Phil? My
well, because,
God.
Because the Learning Channel...
You're talking about the holier than now federal government.
Learning Channel does nothing but war machine propaganda all day long. Why should they have made an exception for you? That's the real question. I mean, you turn it to the Learning Channel, it's nonstop. Did we ever tell you how great World War II was? Well, check it out, you know? And that's all they do on there. I mean, seriously.
Well,
I was quite surprised that they treated you as
fair. I don't know if you're much of a believer in the invisible hand of providence or not, you know, or just the simple down-home wisdom that even the blind squirrel gets a nut.
Yeah.
Philip. But,
yeah,
you
maybe
know,
they had a new producer on there who wasn't sure what he wasn't supposed to do yet.
Not necessarily. Maybe they actually did exactly what the United States government has done. You know, the U.S. Treasury has come out and acknowledged that what we're doing is legal on many different occasions. Matter of fact, no one has said it more than the Secret Service probably at least 200 times the Secret Service has reiterated the delivery dollar is legal, and there's nothing illegal about it. Even the Federal Reserve has acknowledged this, Philip. I mean, we're not out here, you know, selling drugs or something, rather. We're not out here doing anything illegal. You know, we're out here presenting an alternate currency. Do you know there's over 50 different alternate currencies in the United States?
Over 50?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, you know, there's a bunch of currencies. Now, none of them are backed up by gold and silver. They're all fiat currency. None of them have $5 million in circulation. But Paul Glover, he introduced the first successful one in 1991 with the Ithaca Hour up in Ithaca, New York. And it still remains an outstanding example of a community currency that helps a local community. Did you know local communities actually use and support local community currencies because it helps them? Do you know that the more people that have Liberty Dollars in Austin, Austin's going to be better protected from the next monetary crisis, regardless of it inflation or deflation or any other BS thing that they're going to bring down the pike here? You realize the more people have Liberty Dollars, the better protected your community is going to be.
And you're not just saying that because you sell them.
I don't sell them at all. We exchange them for FRNs, but I say that because of a long history of fiat currency versus value-backed currency. We have 5,000 years here to look at. This isn't BS. This
right.
isn't market hype. This is just telling you how it is.
Well, and I should be clear here. Your organization is a nonprofit, right?
NORFED is a nonprofit national educational organization dedicated to the repeal of the Federal Reserve Act and Internal Revenue Code. And even though our nonprofit model is truly unique in the fact that we don't go out asking anybody for money, Philip. I hate asking people for money. So when we started NORFED, we started with a product. It exchanges a product, makes a profit, and uses that profit towards its stated goals. So yes, we're a nonprofit corporation, have been and will continue to be just like that, but we don't ask anybody for money. If you don't want any real good money, well then, you just go out and use that other stuff. But if you really want to, you know, make money, do good and have fun, as we like to say, well then, you should be motivated to get some more Liberty Dollars, because the more Liberty Dollars you use, the better it is for Austin. And listen, as an associate, you get the currency to discount. You mean you actually get paid for using this currency. And when you get paid, that means you make more money. That means you actually get to make, you get to buy more of it. I think that's pretty neat. And at the same time, you're doing what's good for the country. Getting
yeah.
paid for being patriotic? Sounds like a pretty good model to me.
And silver's pretty.
And it's pretty. And have
it's
you
nice
seen the
to
certificate?
Hold it. They sure, well, the certificates are great, but the $10 Liberty coin, not coins, the $10
they're liberties.
Liberties, wow, they sure are shinier than a quarter, made of nickel.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, the lady on there is a lot more attractive than a sockage away a piece of, you know what?
Yeah, mm-hmm. or FDR.
Oh, God, all of them are bad. What we like to say, Philip, is that the Liberty dollar is as beautiful as the ideals it represents.
And make sure to email me your address so I can send you a repeal of the Federal Reserve Act bumper sticker.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. You can just send that to the NORFED office. I'll give you the address. It's 3819 East Morgan, M-O-R-G-A-N, Morgan Avenue, Evansville, Indiana, 47715. So how about if I throw in my... The company's toll-free number, too, because, you know, I'm not in the office. When you talk about me selling the product, I've never sold any of it because I only go to the office twice a year, Philip. But anybody can call the office toll-free at 888-421-6181. And if you get a busy, say, no, that means we're doing some serious business, and that's really good for the country whenever we're busy. So then you should go to the website, which is real easy to remember because it's just www.libertydollar.org. Everybody can probably remember Liberty Dollar and nonprofit, so it's .org. Go to the site. And if there's anybody out there in Austin that's not been to our site, treat yourself. Have you been to the site, Philip?
Oh, yeah. I've been looking at it all week long.
It's pretty attractive, don't you think?
Oh, yeah. It's great. I was going to
ask my picture up there, unfortunately, but other than that, I mean, it's okay.
Is it just a coincidence that you guys are on Morgan Avenue, or did you do that on purpose?
Actually, we tried to change the name to J.P. J.P. Morgan Avenue, and the post office wouldn't let us do that, you know. Just a lot of sort of little quirks kind of goes along the way, you know.
Oh, but that's cool. Like some...
What's that?
I said it's cool. I like the fact that, I guess it would have been funnier if you'd ended up on Rockefeller Lane, but whatever.
Yeah, we could have. We'd go to New York and get a place there in Rockefeller Square or something like that. But listen, there's probably some people out there, Phil, that's been enjoying our conversation, and, they may be going, well, how do I get that money at a discount? So for the advantage of your listeners, I'd like to share that with them so that they can get some more money at a discount.
Please do.
Because you got to get it at the $10 level before it doubles to double your money with the Liberty Dollar. You understand? Because you can't wait till silver gets up there. It's kind of like buying low and selling high. And it doesn't work when it's already high and you try to go, where do you go from there, right?
Yeah, maybe a little higher.
it'll go higher, too. But, I mean, it's nice to double your money. I don't think we're going to get too many complaints. What do you think, Philip?
Hey, it sounds good to me. Everybody's looking for a way to create money out of nothing. And if you can't go and work at the Chase Manhattan Bank, you know, maybe find a lower level way to do it.
We're not creating new money out of nothing. We're just getting in the silver market when it's cheap, and you're just going to see your money double. So here's the story. For all your listeners out there, it's really simple. Although it takes $250 to become a Liberty Associate and get your currency at a discount, it really only costs $150. So what I mean by that is if you send in $250, and hey, listen, we'll take credit card. We even take American Express, Philip, okay? You send your money into NorFed, fill out the form, you can get it on the website and print it out, or you can do it online, you know. As a matter of fact, you can sponsor anybody, anywhere, anytime over the Internet. But you send in $250 one way or the other to the NorFed office, and they immediately send you 100 Liberty Dollars. And they give $100 to your sponsor, and they retain the other $50. So that's where all the money goes. So you send in $250, you got $100 back. That means that you're upside down for $150. With me, Philip?
I'm with you.
Okay, so now
for the good part.
The first thing that we tell you is that we are opposed to Liberty Associates being in debt as we are to a debt-based system for our country. So the very first thing we ask you to do, Philip, is to sponsor to Liberty Associates. I bet you probably know a couple people, Philip, in your sphere of influence, that if you said, this stuff is great, that and ask them to become an associate, they do it. They do it just because you asked them to. Anyway, you sponsor to associates, you get $200. So now instead of being upside down for $150, you're up $50. You did good, you made money, and you had some fun, hopefully. But the thing is, Philip, that what we've learned is that if you don't ask people to become a Liberty Associate, they don't become a Liberty Associate. It's kind of like dating. If you don't ask, you don't get. So all you have to do is become an associate, sponsor the people. You probably sponsor people just because of your radio show. People say, I'll make Philip my sponsor. Give him $100, you know, just to support your radio show. People do that. People do nice things, Philip. It's amazing. Particularly in gold and silver.
And then if they collect a bunch of these $10 liberties, then they just wait until the price gets up to consistently around $7.50, and then they double in value?
Well, you know, first they shouldn't wait, okay? Why wait? Because you can use the currency, and when you use the currency, you make money. When you make money, then you can actually get more currency. And so instead of sitting on $10 or $20, maybe you could be sitting on $50 or $60 or $100 or $2,000 or something like that, you know. The waiting, I'm not real big into waiting, Philip, so I wouldn't suggest waiting. Number two is that, you know, just because it gets up to $7.50, that doesn't mean we're going to switch over to the $20 base currency, okay? Silver has a very erratic history, so we've designed within the system some tools. One of those tools is called a 30-day moving average. In other words, it has to stay over $7.50 for 30 days, the average, for us to move into the $20 base. So it's always nice to keep track of where silver is, but just because you see $7.50, that doesn't mean that we're going to jump into it and get whipsawed. Now, that ain't going to be happening.
Right.
You know, this is a serious... people take money seriously, Philip. So, you know, we've got to be serious about this and know that it's the right time to go to the $20 base. But let me tell you, I wouldn't mind my money doubling either, you know. So we're all going to be watching it pretty closely.
Well, now, and besides the silver liberties and the certificates, there's also electronic liberty dollars too, right?
Oh, the ELDs. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, you know. They're hot, you know. Wayne Hicks over in Arkansas, he has teamed up with MasterCard. He's got some nice cards that you can use. You can use Liberty Dollars to fund the cards, and he set up ICIS, I-C-I-S, an internet currency system. And people should actually go and visit his site, too. It's www.alfii.com. And, yeah, now you can start using Liberty Dollars on a card. You can pay your phone bills with Liberty Dollars. You can do about anything you want to do in Liberty Dollars. So that means that gradually, if you really want to take your male human part out of the ringer, then you could actually start gradually moving towards a total use of Liberty Dollars. Now, that'll happen over time because maybe your landlord doesn't want to use them quite yet and blah, blah, blah. But over a period of time, you could actually start doing this so that when there's a inflation hits or there's a monetary crisis, you know, a sudden fall in the U.S. dollar, we don't know what's going to happen.
Well, I think it's a pretty safe bet. There's some big inflation coming.
Oh, there's that. Listen, you know, I'm out here on the circuit almost every single day, and I'll tell you, you know, often I say, well, you know, there's a monetary crisis coming, and sometimes people say, well, what's it going to be? And other people say, when is it going to be? And my standard refrain here, Philip, is that, hey, I don't know which it's going to be, and I don't know when it's going to be, because we don't have to know exactly what and when. We just have to know we have to be positioned before it happens, and we have to be into silver versus gold before it happens. I mean, that's basically it, because we know that fiat currency is specifically designed to have panics and crashes, have monetary crises. It's part of it. It's how the government steps in and gobbles up an even larger disproportionate amount of your money other than just in regular peaceful times. I mean, peaceful times, the government's fairly benign. But, boy, just give a good terror attack, give a good war, and oh, man, the government rises to the occasion to steal you blind.
Now, you said silver versus gold. Why?
Oh, definitely.
Why?
So I guess if you weren't around there in 1965, and maybe you weren't in the market in 1979 and 1980 like I was, but there was no doubt for anybody who knows which way straight up is, Philip, that if you want to make money, you want to be in silver, not gold. Let me give you a couple quick examples here. The best one is when silver and gold went up in 1979 and 1980. Now, about the 4 to 6 months before that happened, gold went from $4 to $850. Do you know that?
No, I didn't know that. Somebody got rich.
You got to read my book, Philip. Matter of fact, everybody out there ought to get a copy of the book and read Gold versus Silver. It's another chapter in the book. Anyway, so in 1979, 1980, gold went from $400 to $850. Hey, you had put your money into gold, take your money out of the gold, you would have doubled your money. Not bad, huh? Well, let me tell you, in that same time frame, Philip, the gold doubled in value. Silver went from $5 an ounce, not too much farther than where it was just a couple months ago, went from $5 an ounce to $50 an ounce. Now, do you need a calculator, Philip?
No, that sounds like a pretty good return to me.
Tenfold your money versus double your money? I mean, do you need a calculator to figure out which metal you ought to have your money in?
No.
No, I don't think so. But that's not the only case, and that's not the only reason why silver will outperform gold. But if you just want to take it, there's a good friend of mine, Jim Blanchard, wrote a book called Silver Bonanza. Jim's not here anymore, but he did distinguish himself by leading a single-person crusade for the government to repeal outlawing gold, ownership of gold, and made it possible for you and I to own gold. That was Jim Blanchard. And the book he wrote before he died called Silver Bonanza, he does a great job, covers the history, goes through economic models and investment portfolios. And then at the end of the book, you know, he kind of says, well, you read all that sort of stuff. We covered all that sort of stuff. And he says, now just sit back here and just think about this. He says, can't you just see that a $5 item can double in value to $10 a lot easier than a $400 item can double to $800? And if you think that's pretty amazing, which is true, I mean, it can. But in a, while we've been talking about this, well, not exactly within this time, but within the last year, you know, we've seen platinum go from about $425 to almost $800. Platinum has almost doubled in value. You never hear about it, right, Jim? I mean,
yeah, I haven't heard anything about platinum going up.
How about palladium? You know anything about palladium? You know that palladium went up $167 in one day, the highest advance of precious metals ever in history?
When was that?
About 3 years ago.
So right around the time the stock market started crashing, everybody started getting smart and putting their money in.
Well, actually, palladium is a very thinly traded product, and it isn't really a good example because it was actually tied to a lot of problems in Russia because 90%, 95% of palladium comes out of Russia. They weren't shipping any palladium. There was no palladium available in the market. It was going crazy. It went up to $1,067 is what it went up to. Of course, I was happy because I bought palladium at $1.05. I mean, you know, $105. But palladium now it's clapped back down and it's about $200 or so, $200 or so, something like that.
You know, you mentioned there about Russia produces it. They're the ones who have it under the ground, I guess. And this is an argument that I've heard against using commodity money, is that, especially in times of crisis with foreign nations or something like that, that Russia or China or some competitor to the United States, they could just dump a bunch of silver on the market and debase our currency just as quickly or even faster than the Federal Reserve does.
Duh. Can you tell me where they're going to get all that silver to do that?
I don't know. Don't they have it saved up in their vault somewhere?
Are you out of your brain? Whoever told you that, they didn't have enough to get a neural connection together, Philip.
Yeah, that guy was kind of an idiot, but that was one of his arguments.
Yeah, well, that's an idiot argument. That isn't happening. That's total BS. Bull feathers at the finest. Not happening. But anyway, back on the digital currency, just for a second, I just wanted to say that I'm glad you brought it up because, you know, you can email Liberty Dollars to anybody in the world. Anything under $10 is free. If it's over $10, it's a whopping 37 cents for the transaction. It's really starting to take on a life of its own. It's been out for about 3 years, so it's got a nice established base now. And we're doing more in digital dollars than we've ever done before. It's actually really, really very cool in terms of what's happening in the digital dollar arena right now. And, of course, you know the digital dollars are 100% backed and 100% redeemable in gold and silver. And when you turn in the digital dollars to redeem them, you just do that by email. You email those back to the administration and tell us, hey, you want to have paper certificates or you want to have the silver liberties? You tell them, oh, give me some paper, give me some specie, you know. You tell us what we want and we send it out to you, just like that.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool, actually.
I was about to make that point, too, for people who are listening and skeptical of digital money, that it's all still 100% redeemable in silver, right?
That's right. Oh, absolutely. We get a digital warehouse receipt, and we should maybe talk a little something about the warehouse, you know, because, you know, all this is stored in an independent warehouse, and it's audited by an independent auditor that goes into the warehouse. So it's a third-party warehouse, and a fourth-party auditor goes in and does a physical audit, counts up all the silver and all the gold liberties every single month, counts them all up, and files a certified audit report with NorFed, and we post that on our site. We've been doing it since day one, and you can go to our site and scroll back through there and look at the growth and the movement of the money in and out of the warehouse. Matter of fact, the Liberty Dollar, for your information, Philip, is the only currency in the history of money. I should say the first, so far the only, currency ever to be audited from day one. Never has there been a currency that's been introduced and audited every single month, or almost every day because she goes and checks out the whole thing. Never been audited. There's never been one that's been audited like what NorFed does. We're audited every single month. Pretty cool stuff.
Yeah, it sounds pretty good. I know the Federal Reserve's never been audited.
That's right. That's right. And none of the other currencies have ever been audited. There's never been a currency that, from the time that it got started, it's been audited. And that's, I mean, that's just one of the unique things. I mean, NorFed, a Liberty Dollar, is also the first currency ever to carry a URL on one of their certificates. So, you know, we've got a variety of numismatic firsts.
Well,
did you ever see the big $50 silver, Liberty?
The $50 silver?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, boy, talk about a mother. Man, oh, man, good looking. And 2.5 inches in diameter, got 5 ounces of silver in it. I mean, it is hefty, you know.
And now, we all know the history of fractional banking. Is what
there
happened.
We go.
Some guy just like you had a warehouse full of precious metal, and
yeah.
He realized, hey, I could loan out more receipts than I have precious metal to back it. So,
That's right. That's specifically why we use an independent third-party warehouse that issues the currency to NorFed. NorFed doesn't issue the currency. We can't because we're not the warehouse. We buy the silver, we ship it over to the warehouse, and only after the warehouse has gotten the silver do they issue the currency to NorFed. Totally independent.
And you don't loan it out at all?
Never. We never loan because it is not property to loan. We couldn't loan it out. It's required by the UCC, Uniform Commercial Code, that silver has to be there, has to be available for redemption by bearer on demand. And it isn't in 1,000-ounce bars or 100-ounce bars. Every ounce of silver is manufactured into 1 ounce silver liberties, sitting right there, ready for redemption. We can return the whole system. Probably couldn't do it overnight because we may have to hire a bunch of people, but we could redeem the whole system right there. I mean, there is never a doubt. There's never any loans. There's never any fractional reserve. There's nothing like that. So now, well, Philip, we're coming up to the hour here. Do I have a chance to just say a couple of quick things, like give out the email address again and stuff like that?
Yeah, sure. We still got about 6 minutes here by my clock.
Okay. Cool.
Well, I was going to ask you something, but now I don't remember what the hell it was.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I know what it was. It was... I was reminded because I gave a Liberty Dollar to a friend of mine, and I went over to his house a few years later, and there it still was, just leaning up on the bookshelf as a souvenir and not being used in any capacity. And I wonder, I think their problem was it doesn't say USG on it, and so they don't necessarily trust that it's money, or they don't know whether it's okay to really spend it or not. So how do you, as the head of NorFed, how do you convince regular folks? I mean, you know, you and I are
from
the regional island and know all about bankers, but most people don't.
Stop right there, Philip. How do you convince? Oh, that's a good question right there, because the answer is we don't. How do you convince people that they should eat healthy? How do you convince people they should have great sex? How do you convince people they shouldn't drink? How do you convince people of doing anything? You don't. You know, people have to convince themselves. You know, that's why God's going to give us some monetary crisis here. Well, if it isn't God, it's going to be the Federal Reserve.
Yeah, more likely.
Yeah, right. The reality is that these people are just poorly informed at this point. They just haven't had enough crises in their life to realize that they need to have value in their life. That's all. And that'll come through experience, you know. How do you have a trusting relationship? Well, generally we all have failed relationship before we get into a good relationship. You know, you learn by accident, right?
Right.
So The reality is you can't do anything about those people. They have to do something about themselves. And what's exciting is the number of people, the sheer volume of number of people. Look at 100,000 people using the Liberty Dollar. Duh. Tells you that some people out there are thinking, right?
Right. How much, you said how many dollars worth in circulation right now?
Over 5 million.
Over 5 million.
Yeah. That's not too bad, huh?
That's actually pretty good. Do you have projections for how, well, I'm thinking we're in a $9 trillion economy, so.
It doesn't make any difference. 5 years ago, we had nothing.
I'm with you. I'm not knocking it.
And we do no advertising, no marketing. Just get on the radio and yell and scream about that damn Federal Reserve fiat currency, you know. And people say, well, you know, maybe he's got something there. You know, we really ought to have something backing. Maybe we should have some discipline for our monetary system so that the government can't go out there and just do whatever they damn well please. Some people think that, Philip, and we love those people, and they ultimately become Liberty Associates, and I hope that you will become a Liberty Associate also and start getting your money at a discount and using it at a profit. Because NorFed presents a very clear-cut solution, and that is stop using their money. Start using Liberty Dollar and return America to value $1 at a time. That's how simple the NorFed message really is. Stop using their money. Start using a value-backed currency, return America to value $1 at a time. It is that brain-dead simple.
All right. Now, give us websites and phone numbers and addresses, please.
Okay. Well, let's see. The easiest thing to do is just go online at www.libertydollar.org. Check it out and just surf around there, and I think you'll find everything is exactly as I've described it. Either that or you can call during normal business hours, Central Standard Time, 8:30 to 5, and that number is 888-421-6181. You can pick up some flyers. There's a lot of people there in Austin who's got flyers and different things. I know Jason Pratt is the regional currency officer down there for Northern Austin, and Chris Athanas is the RCO, regional currency office, for across the river on the southern side of Austin there. You can get a hold of those guys. I think Jason's place is AustinSilver.com, I think, is his website. Chris is, I don't know what that is off the top of my head. And so, again, you can go to LibertyDollar.org or call 888-421-6181 and call the ladies. I just encourage you, before silver gets out of control and you start losing more of your money, to take control of your finances, safeguard some of your money, and get some Liberty Dollars. And that includes you too, Philip.
Great. Hey, thanks so much for coming on the show today.
Everybody, hey, it's been fun. I hope I've been entertaining.
Oh, yeah, it's been great. Everybody, Bernard von Nothaus, Bernard von Nothaus is the founder of the Liberty Dollar and the head of NorFed. Check him out at libertydollar.org. Hey, thanks so much for coming on.
I really enjoyed it. Thank you very much for having me, Philip.
Sure.